This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lin. We've been hearing about workplace misconduct and sexual harassment claims within Pennsylvania state government agencies and at the State House in Harrisburg. Allegations against powerful men that they've touched, texted, or spoken to women who work with them or around them in unprofessional, sexually deliberate, or suggestive ways. Since 2005, Inquirer reporter Angela Columbus has covered state government in Harrisburg. She wrote a first-person account of how men behave around her on her beat. I'll note, it's not always in a respectful, professional way. Since her account, dozens of women with ties to the Capitol have told Columbus about their stories, but only off the record. Columbus joins me to piece together what she's hearing about in Harrisburg. Angela, for listeners who have not read your first-person account, would you mind outlining it a little bit for them and telling us why you put this out in print?
Sure. So I wrote a first-person account in late October, and the purpose really was because after the Harvey Weinstein scandal broke and what we started seeing in state capitals across the country were women coming forward and saying, you know what, the political culture is really awful for women at times. And they were describing these very, you know, difficult and horrifying experiences they had had working in the political world in these state capitals. And I was a little taken aback by the fact that in Pennsylvania, there was just silence. Nobody said a word. And I thought to myself, perhaps I should share some of the run-ins that, as a reporter, I have had with male legislators and some of my impressions of what I saw when I first began working up here.
And what happened to you? I had read, at least in part, there was even a moment a lawmaker was criticizing some of your reporting, saying to you something very rude to the effect of, well, you're reporting this because you don't get enough sex.
Yes, it was a legislative leader who said that to me. I was stunned, although at the time I also was not that surprised because I had been working up here for a couple of years when that happened, and I had kind of seen that this place operates a little differently than other places where I've worked. But I thought to myself at the time, if you as a legislator are saying that to me, you would think that there would be a fear that I would quote you or somehow put that into the newspaper. If you're doing that to a reporter, what are you doing to other women, the lobbyists who work in the state capitol, or even the females on your staff?
And why didn't you put it in quotes in print?
It's a great question. I mean, the story I was writing had nothing to do with the issue of sex, so it would have been a bit irrelevant. And, you know, you're always taught that as a reporter, you don't interject yourself into these stories.
Your first-person writing motivated many women to contact you, and you stress in your first-person article that silence belies the culture in Harrisburg. Women have come forward to you to tell you about workplace misconduct and sexual harassment that they've encountered, and 99.99% of the time they won't come forward for you to put their name in print for fear of losing their jobs. Is that correct?
That's correct. Okay. And it's a difficult dynamic because a lot of their stories are very potent and are very important and in many respects really should be publicized. But there is very much a fear as a woman that if you speak out, you will be ostracized at best, and at worst, you will lose your job.
I'm thinking there must be some kind of zero tolerance policies in place for lawmakers and other government workers to abide by. Do these policies give women some power to make claims against men when they can and when they're willing to?
In the legislature, each chamber has its own set of policies, which make it a little difficult. And in one chamber in the House, the Democrats have a different policy than the Republicans. But they set a process for what somebody can do to report instances of workplace harassment.
Do we think they're very effective? I know there's some movement to give them a little more backbone in terms of getting rid of some non-disclosure clauses.
Whether they are effective or not is, I think, still under debate. I do think some of the women I have spoken to have felt that when they have come forward to jumpstart the process, they feel that they have been discouraged from really taking it through formal channels and filing written reports and such, and instead just trying to deal with it in-house. So you can have the best policies in the world. on the books, but if you don't create an atmosphere where you have women feel comfortable bringing these types of claims and trying to have their problems resolved, you're not going to be solving the problem. Having said that, there are several pieces of legislation that are looking at doing away with these non-disclosure clauses when there are monetary settlements in workplace harassment instances. And that has come to be, and it has come under the spotlight even more so after various news organizations, including The Inquirer, have put in right-to-know requests asking for monetary settlements that have been paid out over the years. And what we're finding is that they're often cloaked in secrecy, and even through a right-to-know request, you really can't get much information about what the allegations were or even who they were against.
Yeah, I have my own answer to this question, but for you, how important is it for the public to understand details of these cases?
I think it's very important, particularly when it comes to public officials. At its core, the Capitol is a workplace, and there are going to be workplace issues, just like there are in other workplaces around the country. But how their public official, man or woman, are acting in their official capacity, the public does deserve a right to know.